So, if this is your first time here, for those who don't know me, my name is Paul Letvin. I'm one of two pastors here at Submerged Church, so thanks so much for joining us. My co-pastor, Bob, just got back from his Florida place in Fort Myers Beach, as you can imagine, just quite a bit of cleanup that still needs to happen. But anyway, he is back now, but then they're also in the process of moving, so he wasn't able to. They're staying in town. They're just downsizing, moving from a twin home into an apartment, so... anyway, so he wasn't able to join us this morning. But on behalf of myself and Pastor Bob, thanks for joining us this morning. Recently, I shared about an ancient treasure called the Daily Office. If you missed that, I think that should be available to listen to on the website. But that's just a way of slowing down to be in loving union with Jesus, something that has blessed me immensely for nearly 3 years now. Just the time, it's kind of like a mini Sabbath. So you take a moment in the day, you stop, you're still before the Lord. You don't try to get something out of Jesus. You're just with him. You're just enjoying being in God's presence. So that's a daily office. And there's more to it than that, but listen to the message. Last week, I started sharing on another ancient treasure in slowing down called Sabbath and how to keep it. And today I'm going to continue to share on that. And the main reason that I'm going through this, we did go through this as a church about 3 years ago. It's from the material. It's called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Pete Scazzaro. Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And he's got a website that's got all kinds of material. Emotionally Healthy Woman, Emotionally Healthy Church, Emotionally Healthy Relationships. And I have found it very beneficial. He's obviously lived it out. He's done a lot of work to develop this, all scripturally based. But the reason I want to share this now is just because I think most of us here, you know, when we're out and about, correct me if I'm wrong, but man, when I go to the grocery store, when I'm just out in public, you know, just it just feels like there's this tension. You know, it's like people are just kind of on edge. We know, you know, it's like everyone kind of knows there's a storm that's coming, but we don't know exactly how bad it's going to be or how many, you know, is it going to be hailing, lightning, and tornado all at once, or is it just going to start with a sprinkle? It kind of feels tense. You know, you might have noticed that with family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, and I think everybody knows that we are about to enter into a very difficult time. Jesus promised that. However, we as Christians can be well prepared to go through that with the Lord's help by learning to allow him to reign in our hearts, and by practicing the daily Sabbath or the daily office, by practicing Sabbath, it gives us a chance to be renewed, to be refreshed, to truly abide in Jesus so that we actually, in fact, have something to offer other people. So while everyone else is going crazy, when the world starts falling apart, we can be off to the side at peace with hope and have something to offer and say, hey, you know what? God's in control of this. Let me help you through this difficult time. And so I really want to encourage each of us to take this seriously today. I'm going to pray that God speaks to us and we'll get moving. Father, we just are so grateful to be in your presence. And as Jim stated, yeah, Lord, we don't have to ask you to come here to be with us. You're here. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us, that we who are in Christ, we've been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, a guarantee of our inheritance. So I just pray you would help us to acknowledge you, to be aware of your presence, even in this moment of stillness and silence. We pray you'd speak to our hearts. Give us soft hearts today, Father. Give us open minds. Give us attentive ears to hear what your Spirit wants to tell us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For those that missed week one, the big idea from part one, this is just a brief review, was stop, rest, delight, and contemplate. I think I even put that in the bulletin notes. I'll elaborate on that in just a moment. But yeah, stop, rest, delight, contemplate. So those are kind of the four main aspects of someone who wants to take the Sabbath seriously and use that time to make it holy unto the Lord. Today, we're gonna dive a little deeper into Sabbath, and the big idea is embrace the beauty and joy of Sabbath rest. Embrace the beauty and joy of Sabbath rest. And if any of you are like me, or how I used to be, or still am, but am recovering from, you're like, I don't have time to sit and rest. There's way too much work to be done, you know? And a lot of people I listen to, they're like, yeah, I never take a day off. And I'm just like, ooh, that's dangerous. And we're going to talk about that today. But if you're a workaholic or willing to admit that you're a workaholic or a recovering workaholic, this message is for you. Please listen up and have an open mind. And I know there's some people that claim like, oh, God has uniquely wired me. I don't really need to, you know, take a day off. I can just keep going and Jesus will sustain me. And perhaps not. I think it's good for us to humble ourselves and remember it, as I'll be talking about. I mean, it is one of the Ten Commandments, you know, right there with lying and murdering and not committing adultery and those things. So embrace the beauty and joy of Sabbath rest. So the word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word. This is just a review again. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word that means to cease, to stop working. So that's what Sabbath really means. It refers to doing nothing related to work for a 24-hour period each week. It's a time to stop work, enjoy rest, practice delight, and contemplate God. So here's a review on how to practice Sabbath. So remember, there's four foundational principles of Sabbath. These are also in your bulletin. So number one, you stop from paid and unpaid work. And I'll be the first to admit right now, it's really difficult for me, especially, you know, I'll wake up Friday morning and someone sent me a little text or an email and like, I can respond to this real quick. You know, so it is very difficult. But when we stop from paid and unpaid work, we're acknowledging that God is on the throne and that we are not. He rules. The world will go on without Paul Letvin. You know, and sometimes it's easy to think like, man, what would happen to the church if I got in a car accident and died? Or what, you know, and it's like, I never want to be in a place where, you know, people are so dependent on me that their lives would fall apart without me. You know, I think all of us should have that attitude. And I'm saying that to you now. Do not put your faith in this wicked, broken, sinful man who's saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, because you'll be disappointed. You know, should we encourage each other? Should we trust other people? Should we work together? Yes, absolutely. But when we start putting one person on a pedestal, especially above Jesus, things get very, very dangerous. Because anything could happen to me and I would just be gone. You guys will have to figure out life on your own without me. So number two, rest. As God rested on the seventh day, rest from those have-tos. So when we rest, we're actually imitating God. You know, God created the world in 6 days. He rested on the seventh. When we work for 6 days and rest on that seventh, that's a way for us to honor and glorify God by being like him, by imitating him. Number three, delight in God's creation and its gifts. Have fun with God and others. So do things that are a joy to you. Like for me, I like to listen to jazz music. I'll actually sit down and play some piano. I like to do cooking, chopping up, you know, garlic and onions and making nice meals, things like that. That's something I enjoy on Sabbath day. I really like taking a nap. I can get that. Number four, contemplate the love of God and abide in Jesus and all he offers us. So just take time to pause and think and reflect. And I know as our family was starting to really get serious about Sabbath, we were going on a walk behind our house and stopped. And I told the kids, look at this tree. Look how the needles are pointing up and the shape that it's in, how orderly it is. You know, isn't that amazing how God made this tree like that? You know, it didn't just come from nothing. It was designed. Why should I practice Sabbath? You might be asking. When we are busier than God requires us to be, we do violence to ourselves. When we are busier than God requires us to be, we do violence to ourselves, even our very souls. Thomas Merton understood this, and he wrote, so here's a quote by Thomas Merton. There is a pervasive form of contemporary violence, activism, and overwork. The rush and pressure of modern life are a form, perhaps the most common form, of its innate violence. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone and everything, is to succumb to violence. The frenzy kills the root of inner wisdom, which makes work fruitful. And when we do this violence to ourselves, we are unable to love others in and through the love of Christ. This is why we need to practice Sabbath. Sabbath is a priceless diamond with many facets. We've got a picture just for a good visual here. Beautiful. This is like Sabbath. So each of those facets is reflecting God's presence with us and his love for us. And just as facets reflect unique aspects of a diamond, Sabbath becomes increasingly brilliant the more we explore and practice it. That's when we find ourselves standing in the radiance of Sabbath's lovely facets and wonder in awe at the brilliance of God to which Sabbath points. Francine Klagsbrun, who's the author of Jewish Days, describes Sabbath as this: "Before I fully understood the holiness of the day, before I truly appreciated its beauty, before I could interpret its rituals, I knew that Sabbath was a miracle. No such day existed in the universe until it appeared full-blown in the Hebrew Bible." And once again, I think I mentioned this last time, the very first time that anything is mentioned holy in the Bible, it's time. It's the Sabbath day. It's the very first thing in the Bible in Genesis that where anything is mentioned as being holy. So we're going to take a glimpse at four facets, just four facets of the miracle of Sabbath. So first one we're going to look at, and this is in your bulletin if you're following along, there's this one little fill-in for each of these. So number one, Sabbath as a core spiritual formation discipline. So that's the first facet. We're going to look at Sabbath as a core spiritual formation discipline. So nearly all spiritual discipline has value, but some practices constitute the core of maturing in Christ. So these practices don't save us, but they are needed for growth. We are not saved by reading the Bible. We are not saved by prayer. We are not saved by worship. We are only saved by trusting in Jesus Christ alone, who became a man. Emmanuel, God with us. We're going to be getting into that as we get closer to the Christmas season here in about a month. Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus became a man with us, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. But if we are not routinely reading Scripture, praying, or encountering God in worship, it is unlikely that we are growing much spiritually. Keeping the Sabbath as a core spiritual discipline, and happens to be one of the Ten Commandments, as I mentioned, is how we grow spiritually. It provides a God-ordained way to slow us down for meaningful connection with God, ourselves, and those we care about. Unfortunately, the practice of Sabbath has commonly degenerated into one of two extremes, legalism or licentiousness. By the way, I'm curious, has anyone here ever heard a pastor give a message on Sabbath besides here last week? Anybody? Yeah. Maybe, okay, one. Okay, good, we got one. So, but it's sad that it's so uncommon, isn't it? We need to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Anyway, yeah, so those are the two extremes that happen. It's legalism or licentiousness. So legalism can be defined as relying on our own obedience to gain acceptance from God. In the New Testament, we observe legalism among the Jewish leaders, the Jewish religious leaders, who objected so vehemently to Jesus breaking the law by healing on the Sabbath. How dare you, Jesus, for helping that person on the Sabbath? Later, the Apostle Paul warned against any type of legalism in the church. Let's take a look at Colossians 2, 16 through 17. "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." Licentiousness, on the other hand, is an abuse of God's grace by completely disregarding his commands. That's licentiousness. In connection with spiritual disciplines, this extreme leads people to dismiss such practices as Sabbath as irrelevant and unnecessary. For example, someone might skip a weekly worship service because there are so many other good things to do on the weekends. God isn't keeping tabs on our church attendance, though, right? Is he? He knows. You know, one thing really notable about that. Do you remember when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, and there was only one that turned around and thanked him, who was a Samaritan, a foreigner, and Jesus said, "Where are the other nine? Were they not healed too?" So Jesus notices. He notices. He grants us grace, but he notices. What we must grasp is that not only is Sabbath a core discipline for spiritual formation, but is God's good gift to his people. It's a gift. Let's look at Mark 2:27. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." I mean, another way of looking at it, like the Sabbath was made as a gift for you to enjoy. It wasn't made as something to tie you down and suck all your fun away. You know, it's a gift. Embrace the Sabbath as a gift for us. Number two, another facet of Sabbath is looking at Sabbath as resistance to principalities and powers. And I had never thought about this before until I had, you know, gone through this material. Sabbath as resistance to principalities and powers. Principalities and powers are among what the Apostle Paul described as powers over this present darkness and spiritual forces of evil. We see that in Ephesians 6:12. Let's read it. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." They are found in educational, economic, and political systems that dehumanize and destroy people. Not hard for us to believe, is it? In fact, I don't know if any of you have noticed this, but the more I see this transgenderism movement progress, and even this transhumanism movement progress, I have seen photos of people that no longer look human. The tattoos that they get, the piercings, the horn implants on their, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Like horn implants on their head. They wear contacts with like cat eyes. And I look at that, I'm like, my goodness, this is kind of like a demon creeping out of this person. It's very, very concerning. Even when I was at the Candace Owens event on, what was it, Monday the 17th. And as we were leaving, you know, I saw some students and I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, I had to take a second look. I mean, I knew they were human, but they had altered their appearance so much. It was very, very concerning. That's what we're dealing with, Christians. You know, they're in politics, they're in the school system, the economics, everywhere. And it dehumanizes and destroys people. Is it any wonder Satan hates God? We are made in the image of God, male and female. We are made in the image of God. Satan hates that, so he's going to do anything he can to destroy, taint, alter the image of God. Because every human being is made in the image of God and deserves respect because of that. Not every human being is a child of God. We need to remember that. It even says in John 1:12, "Yet to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You are not automatically born a child of God. Jesus even called the Pharisees sons of Satan. So is everybody a child of God? There's churches that preach that. Oh, we're all God's children. Everybody gets to go to heaven. God loves you. Have a nice day. We don't preach that here. We preach what Jesus preached. So these forces, they're powerful forces behind things like unbridled ambition, lust, racism, sexism, worship of money. These same demonic powers seek to keep us enslaved. Listen to this. These same powers that are demonic seek to keep us enslaved to our work and prevent us from Sabbath delight. You ever thought about that? When we practice Sabbath, we resist principalities and powers. Let's review the rationale God gives for practicing Sabbath. Take a look at Deuteronomy 5:12 and then verse 15. "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Why? "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm." The key phrase in this command is "remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there. So as slaves in Egypt for over 400 years, the Israelites worked 7 days a week, 365 days a year. No break. They existed for one reason, to work. Do you know what the globalists are trying to do now? The very same thing. Either get rid of us or put us back into that slavery. The only reason you exist is to work. That's it. They never stopped. They never rested. They never delighted. Pharaoh was a power set in opposition to God, what Paul the Apostle might have called a spiritual force of evil. He was considered a god and worshiped as such. Behind the demonic rule were principalities and powers that enslaved God's people, defining their very existence as non-persons whose only purpose was to work and produce. But now Pharaoh's oppression over God's people had been broken, and they were given a new identity. Their worth and value is no longer based on what they do. It is based on who they are. Sons and daughters upon whom the living God has set his love and grace. Sadly, many of us remember under a harsh controlling taskmaster, a Pharaoh who now lives inside our heads, telling us we can't stop or rest. We remain under that taskmaster who's telling us constantly, you can't stop, you can't rest, you got to keep going, keep going. Anybody ever heard that voice before? So, however, the Jewish people continue to find the Sabbath as a central feature of their identity as God's chosen people. An excellent example of how Sabbath still functions as a form of resistance is B&H Photo. Has anybody ever heard of B&H Photo? Here's a picture of it up here. It's located on 9th Avenue in New York City. They are the largest non-chain photo and video equipment store in the United States and the second largest in the world. They even compete with Amazon. The owners and many employees are Hasidic Jews who dress just like their 18th century ancestors did in Eastern Europe. 8,000 to 9,000 people pass through the front door on an average day. 8,000 to 9,000. But 70% of their business is online, serviced by a 200,000 square foot warehouse, which is located in Brooklyn. So even in a competitive marketplace, B&H won't conduct business on the Sabbath or on about half a dozen Jewish holidays during the year. They close their doors at 1 p.m. on Fridays and keep them closed all day Saturday, the biggest shopping day of the week. During Sabbath, customers can peruse the B&H website, but they can't make an online order. So if you go to their website on Saturday and you're looking, like, you can put stuff in your cart, but it'll say, "Oh, you will not be able to purchase this item for 4 hours and 23 minutes." Right? Yes. Yeah, so they won't even let you buy it until Sabbath is over. So recently, a customer asked the B&H director of communications how they could close not just the retail store, but also their website on Black Friday, the busiest shopping day of the year. Of course, we've seen that changing, and Black Friday is now like before Columbus Day. You know, it's just like getting, you guys have probably already seen Black Friday deals, right? It's like, oh, we're doing Black Friday early. Sell our stuff while we can. Okay. Anyway, the director simply replied, okay, so listen to this. So when they were getting ridiculed for not being open on Black Friday, here's what the director said. So he simply replied, "We respond to a higher authority." That's what he said. "We respond to a higher authority. When we practice Sabbath delight, we proclaim that Jesus Christ defeated every spiritual force of evil at the cross." Colossians 2:15, "He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." We affirm that human beings have infinite value and worth apart from their productivity, and that God's love is the most important reality in the universe. Fourth facet, Sabbath as play. Let's look at Sabbath as play. So in Jerusalem, on Friday afternoons, and Jim alluded to this in his story, or mentioned this already, but it's not uncommon to see groups of teenage boys running by, singing and shouting. At first, one might think that something is wrong. I mean, they're just so like, ah! You know. But the reality is they are simply happy that it will soon be Sabbath. And they welcome it with their singing and with their shouting. So some people have equated their energy and excitement to the same of that as teenagers in the States getting to spend the day at Disney World. It's the same amount of energy. I don't know, maybe teenagers don't like going to Disney World anymore. Of course, they've gone woke, and I'm not taking my kids there, but maybe Valley Fair. Can you imagine looking forward to Sabbath with that kind of joy and delight? You're just so excited. Yes, it's Sabbath. It's like a vacation to Hawaii you've been waiting for months or years. Like, yeah, it's Sabbath. You know, you're so excited. German theologian Jürgen Moltmann, in his book Theology of Play, asks, why did God create the universe if he is a free and all-sufficient being? Have you ever thought about that? His answer, rooted in the book of Proverbs, is that we observe God playing when he made the world. Wisdom, who was from all eternity before the world began, and that's in Proverbs 8, 23 through 25, talks about wisdom being around before the world began. Wisdom played in the Father's presence when the world was created. Let's look at Proverbs 8, 30 and 31. So this is wisdom speaking, the personification of wisdom. Then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. You can just imagine wisdom just dancing, rejoicing, playing. Okay, so it is God's good will and pleasure to create. Hence, the creation is God's play, a play of his groundless and inscrutable wisdom. It is the realm in which God displays his glory. And that's the finishing quote from Jürgen Moltmann, who wrote Theology of Play. So playful extravagance is built into God's creation. An overabundance of seeds is produced that will never germinate. Leaves on trees turn brilliant colors in autumn, whether or not anyone sees them. Incredible species of fish swim in the depths of the ocean, hidden from our view. And flowers remain beautiful even when no one is looking. Unsure if God is playful? Look at this. Just look at the platypus, ostrich, giraffe, the star-nosed mole. That's a real creature. It's not made up. You guys know that? I mean, you just look at these pictures, and they just the sight of them causes us to smile and laugh, doesn't it? I'm looking out. I'm seeing smiles like, wow, that's ridiculous, you know? But it all has a purpose. It all has a purpose. Play is important because it is an indicator that we really do believe life is more than work. It balances our tendency to be too serious and too focused on results. When we are playing, we accomplish no pragmatic purpose. We are more relaxed, less uptight, more trusting in God's sovereignty, and more alert to integrate playfulness into the other 6 days. I can attest to this. Last night, my wife and I went to another married couple's house that we know that have kids in our homeschool co-op, and we played a game. And the longer I played, yep, kind of the more relaxed I got. And then, like, the less I was kind of paying attention, like, oh, what are our kids up to? You know, and I was enjoying the game, and it was fun. You know, did we accomplish anything in the world's eyes? Not at all. But we built a relationship with another good Christian couple, enjoyed fellowship, and it was wonderful. Lastly, number four. Sabbath as a place of revelation. So this is the fourth facet. Let's look at Sabbath as a place of revelation. That's that last fill-in, revelation. We receive from God, we receive revelation from God through several forms, including scripture, prayer, wise mentors, creation, and even closed doors. And most Christians will acknowledge that there are some revelations of God that come only through things like the crucible of suffering and the storms of life. Few, however, realize that a similar principle applies to Sabbath. There are some things God can deposit into our souls only when we unplug completely from work and rest. God commanded the Israelites to let the land remain fallow for a full year every seventh year, calling it a sabbatical rest for the land. Why? so he could replenish depleted nutrients in the soil. To work the soil year after year, and I know we've got some farmers in here or farming experience, year after year without this rest would have left the soil infertile. The soil of our own souls is not at all that different. Work requires something of us. It depletes our energies, our wisdom, our reserves. If we don't allow the soil of our souls to rest, we do violence to ourselves. As human beings, we were created for a balanced rhythm of work and rest. Over time, fatigue and exertion make it more difficult for us to live and lead from the fruits of the Spirit. But on the Sabbath, God uses rest, delight, and play to replenish depleted spiritual nutrients, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We receive his love, and he replenishes us as persons so we can bear fruit. Once we stop and rest, we also discover that God is speaking a lot. There are things he wants to reveal to us that we will never be able to hear, much less attend to, unless we are in a place of rest. For example, goals we might think are important suddenly seem less important, or perhaps even distractions from what God might be inviting us to do. We realize life is broader and richer than our goals and concerns. As we practice entrusting God with our work and all its attending problems and worries for 24 hours, we begin to find it easier to entrust the outcome of our work to him the other days of the weeks as well. So what will you do with Sabbath? Sam Lamb, a managing partner of Linkage, answers this. This is really important. If you do not keep Sabbath, God will keep it for you. For many years, once again, this is a quote from Sam Lamb, a managing partner of Linkage. For many years, I thought it was idolatry and other sins the people of Israel committed that resulted in their 70 years of captivity in Babylon. Then one day I came across a scripture that changed my view about Sabbath. It reads, and let's take a look at this, 2 Chronicles 36:21. It reads, "This is exactly the message of God that Jeremiah had preached. The desolate land put to an extended Sabbath rest, a 70-year Sabbath rest, making up for all the unkept Sabbaths." In other words, failure to keep the Sabbath required a kind of compensation. The loss had to be accounted for. I took that to mean that a similar principle applies to us today. If we do not keep the Sabbath, we are incurring a deficit, and God himself will stop us through a crisis, a health issue, an emergency, or anything that gets our attention. End quote. If you refuse the gift of Sabbath, sooner or later, one way or another, you will find yourself flat on your back, emotionally, physically, and or spiritually. In this place of vulnerability, God will begin to restore you, and he will offer you again the gift of Sabbath because he loves you that much. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not making threats. This is simply a spiritual cause and effect situation that can happen. And some of you sitting here are probably thinking, oh yeah, I remember that time that I went through where I was just going, go, 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 and came down with some kind of illness, or one of my family members got cancer or something, and I was forced to stop. All of us, about, 2 years and 9 months ago, kind of came to a screeching halt when the COVID stuff hit, right? It's like, whoa. Yeah, I remember sitting down, you know, it was after the first week or so, and looking through my planner, I'm like, that's not happening. That's not happening. I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? But for me, that was a great time to stop and slow down and reflect. And I think God, I mean, obviously God allowed it to happen. There's all kinds of things that, all kinds of good that God brings out of even the worst circumstances. But I'm telling you, as a fellow Christian, God will not be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And for some of us here, like this might be kind of a brand new concept. We've never really heard anybody talk about Sabbath like this, but I just encourage you, don't wait until God forces you to start paying back all the Sabbaths that you've skipped. And remember, it's a joy. Yes, it takes time to get ready for it. It takes a little extra work that day before, but it's a joy. I just want to close. Hopefully, each of you should have received one of these Sabbath FAQs. I don't have time to go through that now, but I really encourage you to take a look at it. Some of you probably have some big questions, and I'm hoping that most all of them should be answered if you just kind of take a look at this little pamphlet. So it says, why do I need to keep a Sabbath for a whole 24-hour period each week? How do I go about deciding what specific activities are acceptable and unacceptable on the Sabbath? Do I need a day off and a Sabbath? What do I do about my tendency to perfectionism, et cetera? He even talks about, how do I cease from the work of parenting? You know, so it goes through that. And I mentioned this last week. Yeah, we can't stop changing diapers on the Sabbath. That's something that still needs to be done. But then there's other things you can do for the husband and wife to be able to both take a break. Anyway, so just really encourage you to take a look at this. It should really answer quite a few questions. And if you have any other questions on top of that, or say, hey, Pastor Paul, you know, how have you and your family been doing it? We're still learning too. I mean, yeah, we've been doing it for over 3 years now. Yeah, probably 3.5, maybe almost 4, where we've really been taking, you know, instead of me just having a day off, it's our family Sabbath day. And it's just been a huge blessing. We don't always do it perfectly. Yes, there are some things that come up sometime, family events, et cetera, where we have to make adjustments. But I mean, all in all, it is a huge gift. So I'm going to have the musicians come back up. I'll close in prayer. And let's go ahead and stand for this closing prayer. And then we'll sing one last song. Yeah, Father, we just thank you so much for this time. We thank you. We thank you for the gift of Sabbath. Thank you that you gave it to us. It's not for us to be tied down in legalism. It's something that you gave us to enjoy. And Lord, I just pray that each of us here, as we're thinking about these things, we let these truths sink in. For me, Lord, even, man, I don't want Satan to win. And we know that by practicing Sabbath, we are resisting that voice that's saying, you are good for nothing except to work. Don't rest. Just keep working, 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 working. And then we don't take that time to enjoy you and abide in you, Lord. And Lord, help us to have a stronger desire for you today, a stronger zeal to want to get to know you more and to obey the commands that you've given us and to enjoy the gifts that you've given us to enjoy. We pray all these truths would sink in today, go before us today. We love you, Father. Prepare us, prepare our hearts, our souls, our minds for the days to come. And I pray that we would allow our souls to be refreshed and renewed and replenished by practicing Sabbath. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.